Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Have a Nice Christmas, a special festive podcast from BBC Good Food, hosted by me, Miriam Nice, and ably assisted by Nadia Ziafat.
Hello, yes, that's right. And each episode, we're going to discuss and debate some of the classic Christmas staple recipes.
And here's the best bit. Two members of the food team will have to present to me their favourite recipes and why it's the nicest thing to serve this year. I get to choose the winner and my decision is final. We recorded this at home, so the sound quality might not be the same as we'd expect if we'd done it in the studio.
Today we have Group Magazine's editor Keith Kendrick and deputy food editor Esther Clark. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hi, Nadia. Hi, Esther.
Hi.
So, Keith, what does Boxing Day look like for you?
Boxing Day is invariably a lot of cheese has been left over because I buy too much cheese in. In fact, I've got two boxes coming in a couple of weeks. So we're going to be overflowing with cheese. So that's a lot of stuff to get through. And the best thing about our house is I'm the only one who really likes cheese. So I can really kind of concentrate on myself. I've got super prepped on ham. We have a big sirloin roast of beef on the big day, so there's plenty of leftovers there. And I bake my own sourdough, so there's going to be lots of opportunities for the ultimate Boxing Day sandwich with all the pigs and blankets and all the kind of the extra sprouts in the sandwich. That's probably a little bit controversial, but let's discuss. So for me, it's about kind of getting over Christmas Day, and that's a big, big cooking day for me, and I absolutely love it. Having a bit of a relax and just picking at everything, and then having a sandwich kind of in the late afternoon, almost missing breakfast because we're so full from the previous day.
Yeah. Do you do most of the cooking in your house then, Keith?
I do all of the cooking, and I do so much prep. I mean, I've already got my stock made for the ultimate Christmas gravy. I went to my local butcher's, I bought a big bag of beef bones, which still had the marrow in. So I roasted those, poured the marrow off, and then roasted the bones with carrots and celery and some rosemary and some onions and some garlic, topped it up with water and just left it on the hob for, it was about 6 hours. Kept topping it up, skimming off the fat from the top, bit of scum that forms off the top. And then, draining that through a sieve, through a colander, and then I've frozen it. So I've got it in tubs ready to kind of, you know, revive it on the big day. But I've saved that bone marrow because on the day itself, I'm going to heat that bone marrow up and then I'm going to whisk it into the gravy to finish it off. So it's going to be a delight.
Sounds like you've got it all planned out. I think that's the main thing with Christmas, isn't it? It's all about the prep. Otherwise, the big day is just so full of panic and, you know, nothing's ready and you end up cooking for the whole day. But yeah, that's a good idea. I think I might start thinking about my ultimate Christmas gravy. And Esther, how do you spend your Boxing Day?
Yeah, I suppose I spend most of my year cooking. So I suppose that is my day off once a year. I don't really do any cooking. I eat a lot of, I mean, I do like kind of just a table of food, basically. And there's only three of us this year, but I will not be cutting down the amount of food that there is. There will still be a whole buffet of food for three people, which I'll be enjoying very much. And yeah, I suppose it's a TV day for us. We just watch TV and veg out and start drinking quite early. It's actually probably my favourite day of Christmas, actually. And that is where the Christmas sandwich comes in, isn't it? You have all your leftovers. And actually, Keith made a point about his homemade sourdough, which I kind of maybe feel like we should go back to later, because that is all about the bread that you have. And I controversially have quite a different take on my bread on my Christmas sandwich. But it's a relaxing day for me. And I would have spent, you know, a week. I mean, I'm like Keith, I really like to get prepared on my Christmas dinner. So I would have spent a week or two, you know, just kind of doing all those bits and bobs for Christmas Day. So Boxing Day, I, you know, yeah, just veg out.
Yeah, I booked my my supermarket delivery slot a month ago. And because you can edit your order, every now and again, something occurs to me and I'll go in and edit the order and top it up with some mince pie, some brandy cream, you know, something that
probably
occurs
more cheese,
to me at the time.
Right?
Even more.
I think Keith's got far too much cheese, to be honest. And I actually think his title should be changed to cheese editor.
Definitely. When Keith was saying he ordered two boxes of cheese, I feel like that just sounds like a standard
incredibly
meal for him.
It's amazing how quickly we get through them, or I get through them, yeah.
I didn't realise you're the only person in your family who likes cheese. That just kind of changes everything for me, because I imagined you and your family sitting around sharing all these cheeses. Now I have a completely different image in my head of just like Keith sitting at the dinner table with like a napkin tucked in and like ready to tuck into all the cheese.
It's true. I mean, I do all the cooking. So I cook for the kids when I get home from school, and then I cook for me and my wife. But I hardly eat anything that I've actually cooked. And so I give the seconds to I've got three very hungry teenagers. I give my seconds to those guys. And my wife goes, why haven't you eaten that? You've gone to so much trouble. I go, yeah, but I need some room for my cheese.
Very wise. Very
wise. I find when I make a roast dinner, I sort of taste everything so much. Or, okay, I say taste, but eat everything along the way. When it actually comes to the roast dinner, I'm not as hungry as I was. And it kind of ruins it a bit for me. I feel like I need to cut down on that a bit. Just so my Christmas dinner has maximum space. Yeah, that's true. To be honest, over the year.
Still be hungry by the time. If I did that, I'd never eat a full meal.
Over the time that I've worked for Good Food, I do feel like my ability to eat has increased by quite a bit.
So I know we're talking about the Boxing Day sandwich, but I suppose my taste is kind of determined by, you know, by that very thing that everybody knows me for, which is my love of cheese. And last Boxing Day, I made a 10 cheese toastie. And it was triple decked and it was oozing all over the place. It was absolutely spectacular.
I do think, sorry to completely go off on one on cheese, but I think this is quite important. I do think at Christmas there is a sort of, kind of free pass to go a bit mad on cheese and adding it to things. I think that is really, that's something I've always done. I was thinking the other day I'm going to make a roast ham and maybe like a blue cheese gratin to go with it and just, you know, go all out. But you also get left with loads of nice trimmings of cheese, I think, that you can use in lots of different things. But I don't put cheese in my Christmas sandwich.
You don't put... what's wrong with it?
Absolutely not.
I can see some beads. I think you may have a bit of a fever going on there, Esther. What's going on? Are you okay? Maybe lie down?
I did think this would be a bone of contention, but I don't put cheese in my Christmas sandwich. I don't think it has a place in a Christmas sandwich. I think it has a place on the cheese board that I then eat directly after the Christmas sandwich. But I think you're drawing away. Cheese is, you know, especially some of the ones that me and you like, Keith, are so powerful and delicious, and they hold themselves so well on their own that when I put them into my Christmas sandwich, they take away from like that delicious turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce. And there's already those things partner together so well. I mean, it is like everyone loves the Christmas sandwich, don't they? You know, it's known for that, but I don't think it needs a slab of cheddar or anything else in it.
Well, I think that's where you've hit the bone of contention is the delicious turkey quote there, because we don't have turkey on Christmas Day. I've had it once, and I've followed some really, really great recipes, which is about taking the legs off and brining them and then kind of just roasting the crown. And it kind of made a bland bird very, very tasty. But for me, it's always roast beef on Christmas Day. And therefore, my perfect Christmas Boxing Day sandwich is the leftovers from that roast beef with some Gruyere or some Comté, you know, a nice kind of, you know, Swiss style, Alpine style cheese with some sliced gherkins and pickles, a dollop of mustard. And then you've really, really got the next level Christmas sandwich, which needs cheese.
Okay, so because you're having beef, I've changed my mind. And I think, don't worry, you're off the hook. I think beef, you know, like if I was having a leftover beef sandwich, I'd be getting blue cheese into there, because I think that is a very classic combination. Maybe make some sort of like blue cheese and sprout slaw or something. But with turkey, I just don't think it's right.
Well, not even say a kind of a washed rind, kind of quite cabbagey, mushroomy, say brie or a camembert, or, you know, some of these great, British artisan cheeses. And it's been an incredibly important year for the British artisan cheese industry, because, you know, when the pandemic struck, these guys were left with thousands and thousands of gallons of milk, which they had to kind of pour down the drain, or they were left with kind of low shelf life cheeses, which they left on the shelves. So I think you're doing your bit by adding cheese to virtually anything to help these guys survive in this tough industry.
Okay, I tell you what, Keith. This year, I will make my normal Christmas sandwich, and half of it I will put cheese in, and half of it I will not. And then I will Instagram it, and I will tag you in it. Esther M. Clark, Keith K. Goodfood. Follow us for some action of sandwiches.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see that.
Do you know what, actually? You are right in that stuff like a cranberry sauce and a really mushroomy camembert would go really nicely with the turkey. I have a sort of routine on Boxing Day. I like to have my Christmas sandwich. And then I just like to sit and eat that cheese board and have it as that. But maybe I will do that. I'll do half the Esther Classic and half the cheese added.
Well, maybe that's another podcast, just talking about the ideal cheese board and the charcuterie board and the stuff that you've put together in our kind of like 12 Days of Christmas thing in BBC
that's
Good Food
incredible.
Magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
It, you know, which is on sale now. It's one of the most beautiful photographs I've ever seen. But the assembly, the art, the kind of the different meats, platters going on there. I mean, that's a fabulous way to really kind of like share and show you care.
Yeah, I really love that. And I think it's something you can do for two people or four people or six people if you've got more in your family this Christmas. But I mean, that is a way. I mean, I love to cook. I love to do like long-winded recipes at Christmas, but I also just love to just throw stuff on a plate and just nibble on those, like, you know, those extra luxurious things that we have at Christmas, like the really good nuts and dried fruits and really good cheese and charcuterie. So,
So there's the question, Nadia, that Esther raised before. What kind of bread goes into your sandwich?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in, because Esther, you say that it's maybe a little bit controversial what you opt for.
Well, you know, I've really gotten into making sourdough this year and I really love it. And I didn't really make it before. I'd made it a couple of times, but I've really, you know, I've become obsessed with it and I do really love it. But it still isn't, I'm not going to make my Christmas sandwich in it, because I think sourdough is such a robust kind of, it's got so much going on with it. You know, it's got really strong fermented flavour and things like that. And I just want, there are two times I don't eat sourdough. So I'll eat sourdough on so many things. You know, I'll toast it, pile things on top of it. Lovely with cheese, lovely on a cheese board, thinly sliced. Even when it's going a bit stale, it's really good actually on a cheese board. But I don't have it on my bacon with my bacon sandwiches. And I don't have it on my Christmas sandwich, because I want just soft white bread. And it can be a tiger bread or it can be just a sliced white bread. I just get mine from, I mean, I'm at my parents at the moment and I'll just get it from the bakery that we always got it from when we were kids, nothing special. But it just needs to be soft white bread that you just compress, everything's in there. And I don't want to be chewing on like a crusty, crunchy crust on that. I just don't. I want it to be like a vessel for all these amazing fillings. What do you think, Keith, on that?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of with you on it, to be honest, because you know, it can be a bit gum shredding, can't it, the crust of a sourdough. And sometimes I make these sourdoughs and I put them on Instagram and I just think, wow, that's a work of art. And then 3 days later I'm thinking, wow, this is hard work. It's actually hard work. And then finding things to do with it, you know, making a kind of a panzanella or you know, drying out for blitzing some breadcrumbs and coating chicken Kiev or whatever. It just feels a little bit, you know, art for art's sake sometimes. And maybe you're right. Can I ask you a question? Because you're missing out the elephant in the room, which is the ultimate Christmas sandwich, which is in the December issue of BBC Good Food magazine. And it's on our website. And it seems to break all the rules which you've just set yourself in this controversial conversation. And it's a Christmas muffaletta. Yes. Muffaletta? How do you say it?
Oh gosh, I don't even know.
I'm glad you brought that up, Keith, because I wanted to bring it up, but I didn't know how to pronounce it. So
we have to reinvent the wheel every year. You know, it's a tough time trying to think of what to do for Christmas. But I think that is good, because you're still getting that is just a loaf of white. That cost me £1, that loaf. I'll tell you that for that shoot.
So it's round, crusty loaf.
And it's just a crusty loaf. It doesn't have the sour flavours of a sourdough. It's not as crunchy. And it is I really like it because you wrap it up overnight and it compresses. And I love those sandwiches. I always used to have them. I mean, I used to live in Italy and I just love how they compress everything into these sandwiches, delicious layers of cured meats and mortadella and things like that. But I thought I'd do it on the Christmas sandwich this year as an alternative if people want to make that. And I like it.
Sorry, one thing that I found quite interesting, Esther, about that sandwich was when you sort of look at that picture, it's so striking and it's such a beautiful recipe, but it's almost like I can't imagine that that all actually stays together. But then when I saw your behind the scenes test shot, it looked the exact same. It's not like, you know, editing and this and that, which is like all of our recipes, isn't it? There's not, you know, loads of behind the scenes touch ups. What you see is what you get, I think.
And can I describe this object of beauty? Because it's a through shot, isn't it? It's cut right in half. And then we've got layers of mayonnaise, mustard, cranberry sauce, a handful of baby spinach, crispy onions, leftover turkey, cooked pigs in blankets that have been left over, and leftover cooked stuffing. And it does look truly, truly amazing. But as Nadia says, how the hell do you get it into your mouth?
Yeah. Just, you know, you're in the comfort of your own home. You can get a messy, get a big bib on. I mean, I've always got a tea towel stuffed into me, you know, and I'm well into that. But yeah, it is messy. It is messy, but you know, it's Christmas.
That's the fun
isn't
of it,
it,
though, isn't it?
And
yeah,
you do,
with me,
it's indulgent and a bit naughty, isn't it? So you kind of you want to stuff all those bits in.
Esther, that's interesting then. Your bread, despite your incredible recipe in our December issue, you would still go for the original classic white bread, right?
Probably would. And I'm with my parents as well. So we'll go for what we've always had of that soft white bread. Something in between like the really cheap bleached white bread and baker's bread. You know, I am a bit like that though. I'm quite a nostalgic eater and I would always never describe myself as a food snob. So I would always go for kind of like those traditions that I always had. And I wouldn't swap it out for a sourdough because I think I need to. But
it's trendy.
Yeah.
So would that be a bloomer then? Is that the perfect kind of loaf?
Yeah, it's like a white tin loaf. A soft white tin loaf. Delicious. I still love that bread. My mum used to, when I lived in London, I'm living here temporarily, but when I lived in London, my mum used to bring me back this cheap white bread up as a treat. And I just lather it in butter.
It was my late mum's finest culinary skill was to actually open the bread packet and then just put it on the table. That was it.
Tin of beans.
There's something so amazing about just white bread with loads of butter. Just bread and butter. I love it.
Did you ever put sugar on it?
Golden syrup and butter I used to do.
Oh, you said sugar butties we used to call them when I went to school. Now everything's posh now, isn't it? It's all mayonnaise. It's not salad cream, it's mayonnaise, you know, and it's kind of...
There's
a
place for salad cream.
There's room for salad cream. Don't you find it a bit vinegary?
I really like it on certain things, though. Like, I really like it with beetroot. Bit weird. Mm-hmm. Well, I could go down my weird food habits. I won't bore you all, but...
Would you have sprouts on a sandwich? Would you have leftover Christmas veg on a sandwich? Is that too far?
I'm not... Right. So, Keith, I'm probably going to really offend you here, but I really don't like chip butties. So putting, like, a potato or a roasted parsnip in my sandwich is, like, not good for me. I'm not into it.
This must just be a northern thing.
Is it a northern thing?
I don't know. I feel like the veg the next day, it's fine on its own, but I feel like it could take away from the flavour of the sandwich. Yeah. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Also, I think it's got a bit of a space. You know, I make mine into bubble and squeak and then do like a crispy fried egg. Any shredded leftover ham goes in there, that kind of thing.
But I mean, what is the definition of a sandwich? It's basically stuffed between two slices of bread, so you can kind of mix it up any way you like. Would you put ketchup in a sandwich? I suppose you would if it was bacon, but you wouldn't with turkey.
Yeah. Fish finger sandwich.
Don't get me started
onto a fish finger sandwich. But bacon sandwiches, yeah. I have brown sauce and ketchup in my bacon sandwich. Something else I put in my Christmas sandwich, and actually that's in the December issue, the stuffed loaf, is crispy onions, like crispy shallots. And you can buy those really easily in the supermarket. And I suppose when we were growing up, we'd sometimes put like ready salted crisps in. And it adds that, I suppose it's the same thing. It's sort of a bit of a notch up, isn't it? And that's what I like to have in mind now, are those salty kind of crispy shallots. And it adds like this really lovely layer of crunch, which I think is nice.
I feel like crisps belong in a sandwich. I always add crisps to my sandwiches. I just feel like that extra texture, the crunch and whatever flavour of the crisp it is. I'm not fussy either. It's not like I just go for sort of salted. I go for anything that I have available to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it adds a really nice crunch. And if you've got a lovely soft white
bread. Do you guys remember the sandwich that our colleague Miriam made last year? And it was almost based on science and a survey. And it just had so many different layers of flavour, but also textures. And I think there was crisp in that sandwich. I can't remember the details of it. Do you remember it, Esther?
Yeah.
I think that had the crispy shallots in, actually. I think that was that had crispy onions or something in. So I suppose it's all about balancing those different textures, isn't it? And I think people just naturally end up doing that anyway, don't they? That's why Christmas dinner is so delicious. The same.
But when exactly are you eating it? Are you eating it for lunch? Because for me, the Christmas leftover sandwich is breakfast, and it involves loads and loads of cheese and leftover ham, and that's it.
I'm not going to lie. I have been known, Keith and Nadia, to have my entire Christmas dinner and a few hours later crack into the turkey again for a Christmas sandwich. I think there's a funny episode of The Vicar of Dibley, isn't there, where she has six Christmas dinners and then has a bite of a Christmas sandwich and it finishes her off. That is me. I have been known to go straight for the Christmas sandwich that evening.
I do have a question. Are Christmas sandwiches just limited to Christmas for you? Because obviously they do consist of the leftovers, but do you tend to have them on sort of days or the day after you have just a normal roast, or do you only sort of have them at Christmas?
If I roast a chicken, I will almost certainly always have a roast chicken sandwich the next day. And actually the same with beef. I think I've tested beef this year a couple of times and done a nice kind of just a very simple horseradish and rocket sandwichy vibe. But no, not pork. I wouldn't do it with pork. I know another food writer that always has cold roast lamb sandwiches, which I always think sounds quite nice, but I've never really done that. That's not something I've ever really had. But yeah, roast chicken, certainly. I sometimes crisp up the skin in the pan, do a little chicken crackling, really nice mustard mayo and a well-dressed salad.
Yeah, kind of giving it a sort of a bit of a grilled chicken Caesar kind of vibe. I have just found here while we've been...
Oh, he's talking...
I was still listening, honestly. Good Food's Best Ever Christmas Sandwich from last year's issue. And it's got some really fantastic tips on there about the bread, which you said, Esther, has to be white so as not to distract from the filling. Salad, it should have some green in there, which would be, like you said, with spinach, give it umami layers. Serve with crisps if you have any left over. And some gravy or dripping as well. Loads of different choices are made of sauces, mayo, cranberry sauce, bread sauce, pigs in blankets and stuffing. You've already nailed it with the perfect Christmas sandwich without even referring to that piece of science. Fantastic.
I think the public should watch out there, because I think together we may have created the ultimate Christmas sandwich. I'm going to add cheese. Keith's going for the white bread. I mean, we're going to break the
internet.
And I'm
going to put blue cheese on my roast beef sandwich instead of the usual Alpine. And I've got so much to choose from, as you are aware.
So angry.
So Esther, you say that you won't put cheese in your sandwich. Fair enough. One thing though, does that leave room for maybe a second Boxing Day sandwich that's just a big cheese toastie like Keith made last year, or is that too much?
I mean, I'm never going to say no to a cheese toastie, but I just really like to have my cheese at Christmas on a cheese board. And then a few days later, that's when I think, oh, I'm ready to start. You know, it's going a little bit, maybe those hard cheeses are starting to go a little bit drier and they'll be better if they're in something. So I am so dangerous around cheese that it got to a point where I had to stop buying it and having it in my house, because I would have maybe like one or two bits at once, but it was getting to a point where, you know, it's like cheese board alone in front of the TV is a bit dangerous. So Christmas is the time that I really treat myself. And Keith knows, because I ask Keith every year for his cheese recommendations, and I order a really nice bunch of cheeses. And I just really like to enjoy them on their own with a good cracker, or, you know, really good crisp bread, or a bit of sourdough. But yeah, I suppose a cheese toastie doesn't really come into Christmas for me.
So, Good Food audience, what will you be making on Boxing Day? Will you be going for Keith's beef, cheese and all the trimming sandwich, or Esther's classic turkey one? Let us know in the comments.
I mean, normally I'd say you both presented very good points, but I feel like what you've done is sort of amalgamated your ideas, come up with some whole new recipes. And now all I want to do is just get lots of stuff and make a monster sandwich and just have a buffet of turkey, cheese, beef and whatever else we can find. Just experiment and come up with the best. But we're going to need to record a recipe. And I think I still need to think about it. If Esther, you win, you can record a stuffing recipe, because I feel like that's a key part of your sandwich. And Keith, if you win, it's going to have to be a sirloin beef recipe, so people can have that and then have it cold in their sandwich in whatever bread. Okay, I've given it some thought. You've not made it massively easy, I'm not going to lie. You've not been very clear on your... on which recipe you think needs to be included. Nadia, what do you think?
Do you know what? I am all for beef on Christmas Day, and that is what my leftover sandwich will consist of. But I feel like Keith has lost points when he sort of took tips from Esther on the bread. He was so set in his sourdough ways until Esther came along.
Just swooped in and changed his mind. You've got to stick to your guns in this.
And can a sandwich be really that good if Esther changes his mind that easily? That's a question.
I mean, and I'm debating whether cheese has a place anywhere in a Christmas sandwich. That's worrying me. I love a cheese sandwich. Cheese sandwiches are brilliant, but I wouldn't put it with turkey or with beef. Ooh, tough. Do you know what?
The suspense is killing me.
I know. It's like, do you know what? I think I am going to have to go with the tray bake stuffing recipe from Esther. Congratulations.
Well done, Esther. And that is it for today's episode. But join us next time, where we will be talking about Christmas pudding and alternative desserts for those who aren't Christmas pudding lovers.
Delicious. I've got such a sweet tooth. Amazing. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Have a Nice Christmas from BBC Good Food. Find all the recipes and more information on the podcast at bbcgoodfood.com/podcasts.